All right, so guys, we're going to be finishing up. Everybody said amen. We're going to finish up this series I've been in for two months roughly, on the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Somebody should have said amen. We're going to finish it today. You guys are saying, praise God, I want you to preach something else. So, but there's going to be a really, this I like it anyway, it's a really good point today. My teacher's going to come out. So we're going to just kind of touch quickly on the last two and see, there's one point we're going to see if we can get there time-wise. So Father, we come, just as we prayed for those young hearts, Lord, we pray for our hearts that are not quite as young, that we would receive, God, that Lord, you would anoint me right now, that only what you want to say is what comes out, Lord, that we'd all have soft hearts, open minds to receive the truth of the scriptures today, in Jesus' name. Everyone said, amen. Amen. So gentleness. So love. The fruit of the Spirit is what, guys? Let's all say it together. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, right? Against such things there is no law. Amen. Against those things, there is no law. So as we've been talking about, just to review real quick, we've been talking about that these nine virtues or these nine character attributes are really the character attributes of God. Amen. If the Holy Spirit is God, he's the form of God who's operating on earth right now, right? The Father's on his throne, Jesus at his right hand. The Holy Spirit is who's on the earth right now working, right? He is the Spirit of the Father, the Bible says. He's the Spirit of Jesus. He's the Spirit of adoption. He's all these names given to the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of truth. Amen. So even when Jesus was leaving, he said, there's many things I want to tell you, but you're not ready because you don't have the Holy Spirit now. But when he comes, he's going to remind you of what I've said and teach you all kinds of stuff that you won't be able to get if I tell you now. Amen. So that's what the Holy Spirit's here to do, among many other things. Amen. So really, guys, it's to say, if we are, in Romans 8, it says that we are predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son. So to be like Jesus means we've got to have these nine things operating. That makes us like Jesus. Can I get amen? Yeah. So gentleness, the Greek word is P-R-A-U-T-E-S. So the New Testament was written in Greek originally, amen? And it appears 11 times in the New Testament and is also translated in some other places as these words, consideration, right? So gentleness, the Greek word is proutes, or however you say that. It's translated elsewhere as consideration, humility, or meekness. Meekness, right? So meekness is not weakness, everybody. Weak means I don't have any strength. Meekness, Jesus was meek, right? It means he's powerful, but he restrains his power. He controls it, right? So I am physically stronger than my wife, but when I'm meek towards her, it means I don't use that strength to... Some of you are like, you're not stronger than Missy. There's no way. Guys, I've been at the gym for 3 weeks, all right? I'm getting there, all right? But just bear with me, all right? She could beat me up, but for real. All right, you understand what I'm saying? Meekness is when I have the ability to inflict pain, but I don't, right? Jesus is righteous and holy, and he could have judged us permanently forever. And he had the authority to do it as the Son of God, amen? But he controlled that to save us, right? That's meekness, right? So this meekness and gentleness are like these kissing cousins, amen? You understand? So here's some questions. How many of you know, just raise your hand, how many of you know someone that you would consider to be gentle? Yeah? Maybe you think you're gentle. I don't know. That's all right to think that. So think of just in your mind, right? What character traits does that person you raise your hand about display to make them gentle in your estimation? Right? How do they behave? Did you go, yeah, I'd consider them to be gentle, right? Is it like, do they never, they seem to like, you ever meet those people that they never get angry ever? Right? I don't like them. You're like, come on, something's got to get you mad once in a while, bro. Come on, man. right? I think I'm pretty gentle, but every once in a while, I got rid of my beagle. That's what you got to do, girl. That helped a lot. but you know what I'm saying, guys? We can all be gentle, right? We've all had times when we can be very gentle. We can be meek, right? We can control that strength that we've got that we want to lash out. We control it. That's meekness, right? That's gentleness. But if we think about really what God is saying here is that it's a fruit of the Spirit. We should be perpetually gentle, right? So think about this, man. Was Jesus gentle? It depends on your definition. See, if we put a humanistic America definition on it, then he definitely was not at times. Like when they're in the temple and everybody's, you know, they've got unbalanced scales and they're ripping people off in the temple. And one of the stories, and I think it's in Luke's gospel, says that Jesus goes in, sees what they're doing, goes outside and braids his own whip. He don't just get a whip from somewhere. He braids it himself and then goes in there and starts tearing up. Right? He's throwing tables over and kicking. I don't know about you. Have you ever been chased by a whip? I think that guy's gentle if he's chasing me with a whip. Right? I mean, you know, when I was a kid, you know, you get the belt. I never got one. I always escaped. But you know what I'm saying? I think we need a little bit more belts once in a while. But come on, if you ever got the belt from your dad, you probably don't think your dad's very gentle right there, do you? Yeah? Right? But see, church, if we understand that if this is a character attribute of God, and Jesus is the Son of God, he's the exact image of God, then Jesus is gentle because it's the fruit of the Spirit, and he's the Spirit of Jesus. So that means even when Jesus was angry, even when Jesus was doing things that we'd go, that don't seem right, that don't seem like the Jesus we preach in America, he's still being gentle, right? Can I get amen? Anybody got kids? You ever get angry with your kids? I did once. And right? Church, gentleness doesn't mean a lack of discipline. It doesn't mean I don't correct things. It doesn't mean I don't deal with things that are wrong. That is not a lack of gentleness. Do you understand? That's some weird psychological thing that is not biblical at all. Amen. We got to deal with stuff, but we need to do it gently. Amen. What we got to do is take these attributes in context, right? So if you're new with us, I just can't stand when Christians, and especially when preachers are doing it, when they take a verse or two out of the middle of a letter and then build doctrine around it, drives me up a wall. I can't, like, what's the letter say, man? What's the context of this? What's going on when Paul says it or when Jesus says these things? Can I get amen, right? We're going to touch on a few of them today, but what I saw something I never heard it, so maybe you've never heard it either, but we're going to kind of wrap this all together and look at some context here. Amen. So if we back up in chapter 5 of Galatians where we just read a few verses, Paul lists in three verses what he calls the deeds of the flesh, right, which include things like this: enmities, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, and dissension. Now, there's other things in that list, but I'm just hitting these five or six right here. Then Paul says in the verse immediately following the fruit of the Spirit that those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. We're in chapter 5, Galatians 5, verse 22. We're going to read verse 22 in a minute through into chapter 6. All right, so you guys see what I'm saying? Paul gives these two lists that are the opposite of one another, right? He's saying, look, if you're really a Christian, this first list, all these deeds of the flesh, we really should not be doing that stuff. Can I? Anybody ever been jealous of somebody else? Like 3 days ago, man. Right? But you know, that falls in this list of these things. It's like, that's not pleasing to God. Right? And he's saying, look, here's the opposite of these things. Love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, gentleness. I always mix it up when I try to rip it off. But right, these nine things, this is what, if the Holy Spirit's moving in your life, if you are surrendering to the Spirit of God, these nine things are what's going to come out. Amen. Yeah? What Paul's talking about here, church, is a gentleness that is not necessarily an absence of anger or an absence of correction or an absence of discipline or an absence of chasing people out of the temple with a whip. Don't do it here. We don't like that. He's talking about an absence of my anger. He's talking about an absence of my indignation. He's talking about an absence of what gets under my skin. There's the difference, y'all. Do you see it? God gets angry, man. Read the Bible. There's some times that God gets real angry, right? Jesus got angry. The Bible even references that the Holy Spirit can be grieved and offended, right? So if God can get angry, that means I can get angry, right? The Bible says, be angry and do not sin. He doesn't say don't get angry. Because God gets angry and we're made in his image. That means there's things going to happen going to make me angry. Like these abortion laws. Yeah, I said it on Facebook. These abortion laws in some of these states are just mind-boggling. I'm not even going to preach about it because I'd go off at a huge rabbit trail. But unbelievable what's going on. If you're a Christian, don't get angry about that stuff. There's something wrong. Yeah? I mean, the latest one is that a baby can be killed after it's born. That's what this guy in Virginia is trying to pass. Born babies can kill it. How's that not murder? I don't know. How's that guy not in jail instantly? That blows my mind, right? So should we get angry about that, or should we just go, oh, that's okay. We don't. Nah, man, we should be rising up and saying, this is wrong. This is wrong. Amen? There's enough Christians in this country where we can straighten some stuff out. Amen. Praise God. The Bible doesn't say we can't be angry. What it says is that we need to be careful how we express that anger. Right? How I express my anger is what determines whether or not that anger is righteous or not. Right? So obviously, you know, we could, that abortion thing, we could go and pick it, you know, and hold signs up and, you know, you're going to burn in hell or whatever. Probably not the way God would have us do it. Just guessing at that one, but... Can I get amen? What we should do, church, is pray. And pray not like, oh, Lord, please change their mind. Nah, Jesus' name. Holy Ghost, go get them. Amen. This is why I think that these last two virtues, church, are together, right? You got gentleness and self-control right there. Right? In the Greek words, there's nothing like real fancy in there. Some of those other words, if you look at the Greek, there's something kind of hidden. These two words are pretty straightforward. So we've got gentleness and then self-control. So self-control, let's think about this. Is Paul saying that I should try real hard to be good? One person should have said no, at least one of you. Amen. Or we got to back up and preach something else this morning. Come on, church, look it. Trying real hard is called religion. Okay, I don't like religion. People say, oh, you're religious. No, I'm not. Not even close, man, okay? I can't stand that stuff. Trying real hard is what gets us in trouble. Right? Look, if we could make like an imaginary scale here for a second, and there's this nice middle ground in the good sweet spot, you swing this way is when we try real hard, and that gets us in trouble. Or you swing this way, and you just go whatever and do whatever you want, and that gets you in trouble. Right? It's got to be this middle ground somewhere where I'm going, okay, I know that God don't need me, my ability, right, to get things done. He does need my availability. He needs my partnership. He needs me to listen. He needs me to respond. He needs me to be obedient to what he says. Amen, church, right? We've been touching on this verse in Philippians 2 for a couple of weeks now. It is God at work in you, both to will and to do for his good pleasure. Well, I don't even want to do that, Pastor. Well, then you need to get right with God because it says that God is going to give you even the desire to do what's right. How many people got a desire to do what's right? You're still working it out. Just raise your hand. Amen. Right? You do something and you're like, oh, man, I did it again. You know, but in your heart, you're going, okay, Lord, bring that one again. Okay, I missed that curveball, but throw me another one. I'll hit that one over the fence. right? Amen. My sermon a couple weeks ago when we were snowed out, right? Get back in the huddle, man. Throw me the ball again. Lord, I'll catch it this time, right? See, church, you see what I'm saying? We've got to get in that sweet spot, okay? And sometimes we get pulled one way or another, but it's like, whoa, hang on, man. If I start going, I don't really care what I'm doing, you're going the wrong direction, man. If you start going, oh, I'm trying so hard and it's not working, you're going the other direction. You're off the track, bro. It's in that sweet spot where the will of God should feel natural. Right? When God tells you to do something, you're like, yes, Lord, and just clicks. That's where we should be. Amen? So self-control is, let me think about it like this. It's more like spirit control, right? Holy Spirit control. It's more like inner self-control, right? Because the Holy Spirit is like here, kind of, if you think about kind of where he lives in us, right? The Holy Spirit's like in the center of my being, in my belly, out of my innermost being, right? Out of my belly with rivers of living water. The Holy Spirit's like kind of in here somewhere. Amen? Right? So we should have this, what you'll feel, church, the way the Holy Spirit's going to minister self-control to you is you're going to go do something, you're going to think something, you're going to want to say something, and all of a sudden you feel not a thought from out here come in, but a thought from like down here rising up going, whoa, don't do that. Don't do that. Don't do that. Right? Whatever you do with our kids, right? I said don't do that. Right? And you know what? What do we do as parents when they do it? We go, I told you not to do that, man. Come on. The Holy Spirit does the same thing to us. That's why I said don't do that. I told you what was going to happen. You know what's the most frustrating part? When he doesn't tell you what's going to happen, he just says no. Can I do that? No. Why? Because I said so. Right? I swear I would never say that to my kids. I use it every day, all day long. Dad, can I do this? No, why not? Because I said so. Suck it up. My kids are wonderful. Awesome. Is this making sense, everybody? It's not about me spending tons of energy trying to keep things bubblegum together. It's about me laying my life down to Jesus and asking for his life to take its place. It's about surrendering control to him in every area of my life. Money, relationships, dreams, goals, career, family, marriage, kids, school, church. It's laying it down, man. The Bible says that God has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. God has already provided it. There's nothing that you and I are going to face in life that God ain't got a word about it. Amen? Is that good? Yeah? So, I just mentioned this verse a minute ago, but we're going to really hit the meat of this sermon this morning, right? If God is at work in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure, do you know what the verse right before that one says? We touched on a couple weeks ago. It says this, work out your salvation with fear and trembling, because it's God who's at work in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. You know what that means? It means it sounds a little scary. It's supposed to sound a little bit scary. We're supposed to work out our salvation with fear and trembling, right? With not this like, you know, skipping through the meadows and there's a rainbow and whatever, okay? You know what, church? If you're really walking with God, it's going to be hard sometimes. Man, if it was easy, wouldn't need no faith, would we? Man. Okay, because you know, when you say yes to Jesus, guess what comes at you? All of hell comes at you. Okay, but there's one sitting at the right hand of God, and he's ever living to make intercession for you. There's not a demon in hell that can knock you off your path. Can I get amen on that, church? Come on. Look it. If we lived in the old covenant, right, in the Old Testament before Jesus came, you know what God said in the Old Testament? He says, here's what I want you to do. Good luck, Junior. Let me know how it works out. Because, you know, church, in the old covenant, God did not live inside anybody. The Spirit of God would come upon people. This is why David says, don't take your spirit from me when he sins with Bathsheba. Amen? I hear people pray that now, please don't take the Holy Spirit away from me. That's a bad prayer because he won't. The Holy Spirit isn't on you, church. He's in you. Can I get amen on that? Bill Johnson says it like this, the Holy Spirit's in me for me, and he's on me for you. Right? There's the indwelling Spirit of God. He's in there for me. He's in there to straighten out my mess. Right? The Spirit of God is upon me with gifts and anointing for you to minister. Right? Every one of you, you got the Holy Ghost in you for you, and you got the Holy Ghost on you for somebody else. Amen. Is that good? Make sense, everybody? So, if we think about this verse, why this verse should be a little bit scary, if we were still living in the old covenant, and God says, do this, and we go, okay, I'll try my best, and you're going to fail, right? Can I get, right, church? That's why Jesus came, because we fail, right? But now that the Holy Spirit's in us, this is what God said to me straight up this week. He said, son, now that the Holy Ghost is in you, your excuses hold no water. Oh, God, I just can't. I know you can't. That's why I'm in you to do it. We got to think about that a little bit. It really convicted me. I said, oh, Lord, forgive me for all my excuses. Amen. Right? If God was just saying good luck and didn't help us, our excuses stand up a little bit. Can I get it? Right? But now that the Holy Ghost is in me, the Spirit of God is in my heart, there is not a single requirement God has ever said that I cannot do. There's nothing God said you can't do. There's nothing. Because he's in you. Right? Is that good? So need to give a little bit of teaching here to wrap this point up so it makes sense. Haven't talked about this in a while, but we need to understand that the Bible that we have in America and around the world now, when it was not written with chapters and verses. Everybody know that? Right? So it's cool. It's fine. It's when they translated it to make kind of modernize it, they did this to help us read it and whatever. It's fine. And it's very helpful, I think, in a lot of ways. you know, I kind of have one of those photographic memories that I can say, oh, yeah, you know, Galatians chapter 2, verse 4 says this. You know, and I'm kind of just like that. Not everybody is, but that's fine. But look at the church. When Paul, the letter we're going to just about to read, when Paul wrote this letter to the Galatian church, he didn't write it with 6 chapters. Paul didn't write the letter to the Galatian church and say, read chapter 1 next Sunday and read chapter 2. Have a 6-week series on the letter I wrote. Right? It was one letter that Paul wrote intending for the leaders in that church to read the entire letter and take the entire thing in context and preach it as one thought from Paul. Now, there's a ton of stuff in there, and they would have preached a whole series on it, right? But again, what we do, it drives me crazy. We cherry pick these verses of scripture I hear preachers over their pulpits saying stuff that you're like, what are you talking about, bro? Amen. I put up on Facebook the other day that scripture out of Peter where it says, God is not slow concerning his promise, as some count slowness, but he's patient, right? And D girl, you got it, right? I ask anybody to comment if you catch it, right? But see, there's a verse, we take that and we twist it. And we say, hey, brother, you know, God's not slow concerning his promises concerning you because he did it. Dude, read it in context. The promise that Peter's talking about there, church, is the coming of Jesus. The judgment coming of Jesus. That's what Peter's talking about in that letter. He's saying, look it, Jesus is coming back. That promise is going to happen, and God is not slow concerning it. People are saying, oh, you've been saying Jesus is coming back for 2,000 years, brother. You know, okay, whatever. Well, I haven't been saying that. I'm not that old. But you know what I'm saying, church, right? This is the message of the church. Jesus is coming back. Get right with God, everybody, right? But what is Peter saying? Look at the reason that Jesus hasn't come back. It is because God is patient concerning you. He does not wish anyone should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So guess what, y'all? When the trumpet blast sounds and the sky rips open, if you ain't right with God, there's no time to get right with him. It's too late then. Yeah? And I'm just telling you, if you look around at our world, I don't know, I'm not going to get into a bunch of eschatology this morning, but there's some stuff going on that you go, we're getting close, man. Amen. I'll just say, I wouldn't be surprised if it happens while I'm still breathing. We got to wake up. Can I get amen? God expects us, church, to change and grow. Doesn't that feel warm and fuzzy? Yes, praise God. But you know what? Like our testimony from our sister this morning, right? When you submit to that and allow God to change and grow you, whoa. You will experience things that you have never experienced in your life, in your heart. Right? Your mind will clear up. Can I get amen? Anybody have racing thoughts this morning? Just be real, man. You know? Y'all so scared, don't raise your hand. Somebody does for sure. Right? But look, the Bible says, look at God made this mind, and now that I'm saved, it now guess who it belongs to? It belongs to me and it belongs to Jesus. So anything that I don't want going on in there, it's got no room to be in there. Can I get amen? Anybody ever a thought and go, where'd that come from? Right? You know, you've got, you, if you're a Christian, you have the authority to take that thought and kick it out. This is my brain. Right? Just like if somebody comes on my property, I said, this is my property. I didn't invite you on my property. Get out. Right? Spiritually, we have the same authority. Can I get amen? This is my mind. I can think what I want to think. In Jesus' name, yes. So look, let's open your Bibles to Galatians 5. If you got a Bible, if you don't have one, sit next to somebody with one, because we're going to look at this for a few more minutes here and just really make a couple of really, in my heart anyway, they were really powerful points and illustrations. And I guess I really want you to think about, again, 2019, really, we're really putting a thrust here with this community group. So again, if you're new with us, I'd encourage y'all to come next Sunday, man. We're just going to hang out, have some food, and just build relationships with one another. Amen? So I want you to think about, really, a lot of what I'm going to preach for the next many months anyway is going to really be trying to feed into community groups and making sure that those are healthy. Amen? And moving in that direction, right? So I want you to think about this. Go to Galatians 5, chapter 5, verse 22. Y'all there? All right? It says, Paul says, but the fruit of the Spirit is, let's say it together again, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Now, those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Okay, so what's Paul saying here? If you're alive by the Holy Spirit, you should also be walking or behaving in accordance with the Holy Spirit who's in you. Yeah? Good stuff? Right? Let us not become boastful, challenging one another, and envying one another. So I want to pause right here for a moment before we keep reading. And church, this is a verse, man, that I've read this for years, and it always just kind of, I didn't understand why Paul says it right here. Amen? But it was just yesterday, I was thinking about this, and here's what the Holy Spirit said to me. When Paul makes this statement about not boasting, challenging, or envying one another, he's really saying that this isn't a competition. Right? And a thought that I've had for a long time is that many Christians, we read this list of the fruit of the Spirit, and we kind of internalize it in a sense, and we kind of go, well, I'm more gentle than you. Or man, so-and-so should be as faithful as I am. Right? Am I making sense? Does anybody feel convicted? Other than me. Right? So what does he say? Number one is don't boast, right? We shouldn't be boasting. So we boast, it's one of the ways that we can boast is we compare how good we think we are at something with how poor we think somebody else is at it, right? If I think that I'm, so I stand up here, you know, when the picnic coming up this summer, I'm going to boast about winning basketball games every summer for years on end now. And I want to thank Jesse for getting me a little back in shape so I can still continue to reign on the basketball court. Anyway, but you see what I'm saying, guys? It's boasting, right? So Paul's first warning is, do not boast. And he's referencing the fruit of the Spirit, right? Do not boast about how much you love or how joyful you are or how patient you are or how peaceful you are. In a sense of comparing yourself to someone else, you think isn't quite figuring it out yet, right? The second thing he says is do not challenge one another. The Greek word here is interesting because what it really means is to pull someone out publicly. There's the Greek word, challenge one another, right? So it doesn't say that if we're in a discipleship setting, right? We're in our small group settings and we're talking about something that we shouldn't be encouraging someone in that intimate setting, right? If we're trying to disciple somebody, if someone comes to us with looking for counsel, that's not what Paul's talking about. We should be kind of challenging people, right? Come on, bro, you can make it. You can do this, man. You can overcome this. You can beat that thing. You can do it, right? That's not what Paul's saying. Don't challenge one another. He's saying, don't call someone out publicly. Don't say, hey, you in a big setting, you over here, you should get your act together. You should be more loving. You should be more kind. You see? That's what Paul's talking about. The last thing he says, and don't envy one another. So what this means, again, a lot of these nine virtues is we should not be looking at someone else and saying, oh, I wish I was as peaceful as brother so-and-so. I wish I had that type of personality where I could just, he's so patient. I wish I was like that. That's envy, right? I want something someone else has. Because what we need to understand, church, is the patience, if you're seeing real Holy Spirit patience, it's not that person's patience you're seeing. It's the patience derived by the Holy Spirit. Meaning, why should I not envy that? Because that means that if it's not your patience, it's the Spirit of God's patience in you, I can have exactly the same patience you have because it's not yours. Right? So can I challenge you? Oh, I wish I could pray like so-and-so. I wish I could worship like stop saying that, man, because you know what? Anything you see that's genuine is from the Spirit of God, meaning you can have it. Because God's no respecter of persons. He'll give liberally to anyone. Can I get amen? Yeah? So let's keep reading. Does that make sense? Brethren, so I want you to think about this, church. Forget that this is chapter 6, verse 1. Amen? So let's back up. Let's just back up two verses into the end of 5 again and just read it straight down, right? If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Let us not become boastful, challenging one another, and envying one another. Brethren, if anyone, everybody say anyone, let's everybody say it, anyone is caught in, say it together, any trespass. So this is sin, right? You who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of humble. Isn't that what we started talking about this morning? Gentleness? Same Greek word, y'all. Each one looking to yourself so that you too will not be tempted. Bear one another's burdens and thereby fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks he's something when he's nothing, he deceives himself. So verse 3 was another one of those verses that I just didn't quite grasp for a long time, and it hit me not too long ago. You know what Paul's saying right there? Again, if we read, we forget the chapter break, read it straight through. Paul's referencing back to the fruit of the Spirit. You understand? He's saying these nine character attributes, if you've got these things working, great, but it's not just I can sit, you know, sit in a beach chair with my toes in the water with waves washing over and say, I'm so peaceful right now. Paul's not saying you should just to go stand on a mountaintop and say, oh, I've got joy in my heart. He's saying, look, you got to work this stuff out, but here's the test. You want to know if you're really joyful? You want to know if you really got the peace of the Holy Spirit? You want to know if you really got patience working? Go find somebody who has fallen on their face in a pile of poo. Probably not literally, hopefully, spiritual poo. And get your hands dirty picking them up. Right? See, what we think in America, because we're so celebrity and entertainment oriented, is we think the people that can come up in front and stand on the platform and sing pretty good or prophesy or do whatever they're going to do, preachers, we think, oh, these guys are the ones that are real spiritual. That's not in the Bible anywhere. Doesn't exist, everybody. That's what we've done because we like to be entertained in America. Can I get amen on that? The Bible tells us that how we test our spirituality is by helping out somebody else. Right? And Paul says what? The warning is be careful that you don't get sucked into it, right? Be careful. But get in there with them. Get down there, right? Verse 3, so you know what verse 3 is really saying? He's saying if anyone thinks himself to be something when he's really nothing, he deceives himself. If you think you're so spiritual, Paul's saying, but you can't take your spirituality into the inner city, into some place that is uncomfortable for you, if you can't look at somebody that has fallen into sin without looking down on them, and he says you are nowhere near as spiritual as you think. Your breath ain't all that fresh and minty, bro. Do you see it, church? See, what's going to happen, man, is we start building real relationships. I'm talking real ones, man. You know what's going to happen? There's going to be some gatherings where some weird stuff's going to come out. There's going to be somebody in one of our little get-togethers, hopefully that multiply and don't just get outside of just the formal ones. Amen. But there's going to be times, y'all, when somebody is just going to say, you know what, I just need to tell you something. And I hope you still love me afterwards. Right? Come on, man. Look it. I did it. My gosh, how long ago was it, bro? At your house. How many years ago was that? 15 years ago? Man, I had some stuff in my life. I could not kick it. Couldn't kick it. Anybody been there? And I was sitting with my father-in-law and a good friend of mine who was at the church at the time. Little barbecue. We're having a good time. And I was like, I just got to tell y'all something. And here it is. And I was like, whatever. I was so sick of what I was doing, I didn't even care what they said. I just had to get it out. Because you know what the Bible says? That if we confess our sins to one another, God is faithful and just to not only forgive us, but to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So anybody ever feel like, oh, geez, I got stuff in my life I just don't want to talk about? Do you know that that's actually a trick of the devil? That's a trick of the devil, man. If we could grasp onto that, that's a trick of the devil, that we hide stuff and we're not honest and open about what's going on in our life, because it's, you know, and here's how we justify it. Well, I tried doing that, I got hurt. Well, guess what? You're going to get hurt, man. Just how it is. Anybody walk through life without getting hurt yet? No, I didn't think so. So what we're responsible for, church, as Christians, right, is to build an environment where people can share that kind of stuff and they're not going to get hurt. Because you know what my father-in-law said to me, who's sitting right here, if you don't know, that's why I pointed at him, which shocked me. I was thinking, man, this guy's going to kill me. I honestly thought that. But you know what? He looked at me and he says, bro, everybody struggles with that. I was like, what? Really? Like, I honestly thought I was the only one. Trick of the devil. Don't tell anybody. It's messed up, man. We've got churches all over this country that have got thousands of people in them that it's a show. And I'm not saying that the pastors and all the, I'm not saying that there's not real genuine folks in there, but we've turned church in America into a production. How good is the music? It should be good, man. We're doing it for God. Can I get amen? My prayer this morning was, Lord, help us make your praise glorious. Because that's what the Bible says. Make his praise glorious. Right? Should be awesome, right? But if we're coming to church and we walk out and our first thought is, man, the band was a little off today. Man, the worship leader must have a cold. He sounded like a frog that was pregnant. And that's the first thoughts when we're walking out. What are we doing? I love Francis Chan. People say to him, well, you know, Pastor, worship wasn't that good today. He goes, well, that's good because it wasn't for you. Right? Is this making sense, everybody? Let's keep reading. Two more verses. I'm done in like 30 minutes. No problem. Promise. Look at what he says in verse 4. But each one... If you're new with us, that's a joke. It's 40 minutes. Each one, look at what he says here, church. Each one must examine his own work. You must examine your own work, but not in a vacuum. anybody can be gentle when you're sitting on your couch. That's not the test. Everybody's spiritual in a prayer meeting. Everybody behaves for a couple hours on Sunday morning. Well, not everybody. Most folks do. Most folks do. Man. Can't even put our phones down on Sunday mornings for a couple hours anymore. Man. I didn't look at nobody when I said that. Look, each one must examine his own work. But you know, but what's the exam, church? The exam is not what can I do in my prayer closet. It's what can I do when I'm out of my prayer closet. When there's a need that comes up, when somebody has something happens, and I go, I'll pray for you, buddy. Take care. Dude, no. No. And church, I'm right here, man, okay? I like helping folks, but God's on me about this. I'm not preaching at you. Look, it's like, because I've gone through stuff where I'm like, where are all these people that say they love me? Where are they at? And I'm not talking about anybody specific. I'm just talking about life in general, man. Come on. We've all been there, right? Where are all these people that said, I got your back. We're going to be with you. We got, you know, we're this and that, right? Man, it's wrong. And it's we're worse in the church than out there. Man, Francis Chan, this is the same preacher. He says he was going to the inner city in L.A. for years, and he found this young kid, a bunch of young kids, got him into church, got him saved or whatever. And he runs into this one kid at his church after being there a couple of years, and he says, hey, buddy, how's it going? You know, whatever. And they got talking. And this young kid says, well, Pastor, you know, I don't know. It's just not what I thought it was going to be. And Francis Chan says, well, what do you mean? And he says, well, what you told me was that I was going to become part of a family, and that people were going to love me, and people were going to help me, and people were going to give and lay their lives down for me. And he says, you know what? I haven't seen it. And this guy's church was huge, 3,000 people, 4,000 people. And then he says to Francis Chan, the gang loved me better than the church does. That's messed up. That's messed up. But you know what? We're going to fix it. We're going to fix it. I don't care how long it takes, man. We're going to fix it. Each one must examine his own work, right? What are you doing with the how spiritual you are? There's what I got to examine. Can I, right? Look what he says, though. Then he will have reason for boasting in regard to himself alone. Not I'm more spiritual than that guy. In my heart, can I honestly say before God, if God, I told my pastor last week, man, if God showed up in my office, like just pow, the glory of God, and his question was to me, have you done what I told you to do? I said, I'm not sure my answer would be very good. And I was crying pretty hard when I said it. Church, come on, man. Look it. We're going to fail, okay? We're going to fall short. God's going to give you something. God will never give you more than you can handle. That's all God's ever going to give you, man. Come on, okay? Because if you can handle it, you don't need him. It's always going to be more than you can handle, right? Come on, man, and you're going to fall. We're going to mess up. We're going to blow it. We're going to have bad days or weeks or months or years or decades. Right. Can I get him? But you know what? The Bible says, I'm gonna paraphrase this one verse. I'm just wrapping up right now. Amen. That basically it's in Proverbs somewhere, but it basically says this. How pleasant it is when a brother falls if he's got someone to help him up. But woe to the man who falls and there's no one to help. Come on, man. We've all been there. Is that good? Just one more quick point here. Just really done, promise. Each one will bear his own load. Verse 5, right? There's 2 points. I got to just hit this one quick and then go back and hit verse 2 and just lay something on you guys. But look at verse 5. It's interesting that Paul says to bear one another's burdens, right? So bear somebody else's burden. But then in verse 5, he says, each one will bear his own load. But you see what Paul's saying is like, look, you and I have a responsibility. I'm going to bear this load that God has put on me. I have a responsibility. If the Spirit of God is in me and he's changing my heart and he's making me like Jesus, I have a responsibility. I'm going to bear this load of helping her out. I have a responsibility to do it. Right? Can I get amen? Do you guys see it? God is serious about this stuff, man. I'm telling you what. I don't want to stand before Jesus someday and he goes, why didn't you do that? I don't want to do that. Can I get amen? Ain't going to hear that in very many churches in America. Last point, guys. Back in verse 2, bear one another's burdens. I just want to lay this quickly on you. I think there's two issues really going on here. Bear one another's burdens, right? So if we go back and talk about the point I had a few minutes ago about not being willing to share burdens, right? That's kind of an American thing too because we're so prideful in our country, right? We don't want to admit that we're struggling. Amen? I should have got one amen for that one, right? We don't like to admit that we can't work it out. We don't like to admit that there's a financial struggle. We don't like to admit that we've got a marriage issue. We don't like to admit that there's something wrong with our kids. We don't like to admit that we've got depression. We don't like to admit that we're addicted to some substance or pornography or whatever it might be, church. We don't like to admit that because it shows weakness, right? But so the only alternative is I'm going to hide it and it's going to kill me. Those are the options. I'll admit it and my brothers and sisters will help. Amen. In Jesus' name. Or I hide it and it kills me. Amen. So there's issue number one is our general our unwillingness to share our burdens, right? You know how many people call me, Pastor, I got to talk to you, but I don't want to lay my burdens on you. I want to say, bro, I kind of get paid for that. Just saying. just saying. Kind of my job, you know. but I get it, right? I mean, I've done the same thing to my pastor, you know. I call him and say, oh, I don't want to bother you, but, you know, right? Can I get amen, church? Look, and the thing is not just that I get paid for it, but look at that is what Paul says. That's a responsibility for every single one of us, man. Everybody in this room, if we look around, we should be able to call anybody in this room and say, look, man, I'm having a rough time, man. I'm going through something. I need some help. I need you to stand me. Can you just pray with me? I had a call last week from a guy. I'm almost done. I promise. 3 minutes. Jesus' name. Give me the hook in 3 minutes, all right? Last week, I got a call from a guy in our church, and he's going through a tough time, right? And we're on the phone for an hour and a half. And about halfway through, I said, Pastor, I said to this guy, I said, bro, I wish I had a better answer for you. And what this guy said to me, it made me cry. He said, Pastor, I'm not looking for an answer. I'm just looking for somebody to talk to. I was like, whoa. It took some pressure off me. I was like, praise God. Amen. Look, church, you know, some of us think, well, I don't know the Bible good enough. I don't pray enough. I don't, no. Sometimes folks just need somebody to talk to. They see somebody to say, man, I'm with you, bro. Right? Is that good? So the second issue is not being willing to share. Second thing, guys, closing right here, is being available to somebody when they do make that call. Right? When there's an email goes out, when there's a text come through, be available. Right? We have so many ways to communicate with people, and our communication is worse than it's ever been. We've got to be, and I get, man, I'm not asking you to stop working, okay, for crying out loud. Please don't go there. If you're at work, be at work, right? But man, when you got to work, check your phone. Yeah, everybody got a smartphone, right? Come on, man. Get out of work, check your phone, right? And I mean, we can drive home, can make a phone call on our drive home. There's so many ways that we can communicate and be there for one another. Amen? Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for this time together. Lord, we thank you for, again, our community group launch starting this Friday. Lord, we just want to present this I don't even call it a ministry, Lord. I don't want it to be religious in any way, God. I'm asking you to bless this thing, Lord, with life and joy, with freedom, Father, with just a great anointing for wisdom on everybody, not just leaders, Lord, and everybody sits and listens, Lord, but that we build real relationships, God, relationships that we're sticking together. We're going to be there for one another. We're going to build, as Paul says, having our hearts knit together. Hearts knit together. So, Lord, we thank you for this time. Lord, we're asking this year that we become really, truly fruitful Christians, God, that we are displaying these 9 virtues, not just at a prayer meeting, but out there when somebody's in a mess, God, and we're in there being fruitful right there. In Jesus' name, everyone said amen. Amen, guys. Have an awesome week. Wednesday night prayer at 7:15. What time is it? 7:30. We start. Anybody is welcome, y'all. Anybody's welcome. We have an awesome time. We never know what God's going to do on a Wednesday night. So, guys, have an awesome, awesome week. God bless you.